I don't know here tonight. He's not a guest at a church, so him and his wife, they've been here many, I don't even know how many times. Let's just say a dozen. Because it's been a lot. Think it's a dozen? Close enough. Okay. Well, one of our, you know, we support missionaries because we believe in God's mission. And we believe that God works his mission through missionaries and the church. And the church supports missionaries who go to the field to reach the lost in other parts of the world. And so we support missionaries by praying for them, by financially supporting them, and by taking a team and going and loving on the missionaries that are there. So tonight we have a missionary and his wife are here. That's Lee Carter and his wife Heather. They are in a country of the Dominican, just the Dominican, right? In the Caribbean Ocean. You know, it's a beautiful island. It's a wonderful place. No? I thought everything in the Caribbean was beautiful. Okay, there you go. Okay, but anyway, they're here. He's going to share their what's going on in their ministry, and they'll be here with us over the next couple, through the month, just visiting with us. There's a prayer team, and I think it's David Branham leads that prayer team. And so if you want to get to know the Carters, you need to be on their prayer team if you're not on that prayer team. If you want to be on another prayer team, you should, because there's on this list, I think we've got, without counting them out, because I can't count that far, there's probably 12 teams, 12 missionary support teams that we have, prayer teams. Prayer stands for, what did it stand for? I opened my mouth and I can't remember. Teams is what I'm looking for, teams. And I don't remember what that was. Does anybody remember that? Together, everyone advances missions. Thank you. Got me started anyway. But I'm going to ask Lee to come up and speak. But I want to just say, we do have a team going. I mentioned one of the things that we support missionaries for is by sending teams. So Steve Fleshman is leading a team to the Dominican to hang out with the Carters in January. I don't know if that team is full yet or not. I would say probably not, because that's January. Nobody thinks about what they're going to do in January in August or September. But I want to encourage you to give thought to being on either on this team or a team that we'll have going out to Oaxaca, or a team we do have a prayer team that just left today to go to Boston to be with the Living Faith Church in Boston for a few days to do some street evangelism, reaching the people in Boston with the gospel. I would encourage you if there are some qualifications for going on a team. One of them, you got to be, you don't have to be discipled, but you need to be being discipled, to go on a team. And, so you can look into that. If you have questions about, call the office and they can tell you more about who to talk to about each of the teams, each of the mission trips that are going out. But anyway, I'm going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to ask Lee to come up, and he's got the floor tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for missionaries who love to serve you in places that many of us may not feel like that we could ever go to. But Lord, they go, they blaze a trail, they lead the locals in the receiving of the gospel. They start churches. They start ministries to reach sick people, to help children different ways, Lord. And we support them. We stand behind them and beside them as they serve. And we ask, Father, for your hand to be upon the Carters as they are serving in Dominican and making lives better by sharing the gospel. And we ask, Father, for your blessing on him tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. All right. Well, today is an awesome day for a multitude of reasons. Faithfulness is evident through your lives. We have a phenomenal prayer team. phenomenal. I can, at the click of a button in WhatsApp, ask for prayer, and somebody will respond within 5 minutes. Even though I'm in a foreign country on the other side. People are, it's phenomenal. Your faithfulness is incredible. The way you pray for us, the way you financially participate. And with a team coming in January, we're super excited about that. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness and the way that you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that you're living it out here. Okay? We appreciate that very much so. And I'm going to, Heather, will you come up here for a minute, please? I didn't prep her for this, so I just got the look, but that's okay, right? So faithfulness, my wife has put up with me for 31 years officially today. So thank you for your faithfulness, very much so. She should have stopped putting up with me a long time ago.
Over here's where I sit down.
No. Hang on. But see, I can say she's been faithful, and I can tell her thank you for her faithfulness with my words. Because see, we talk about Jesus that way, right? We say thank you to Jesus for his faithfulness. We talk about Jesus with our words, right? But people need to be able to personally experience what is it you're saying. They need to, when you're sharing Christ, the word of God's phenomenal, will never return void. Amen. Man, but we need to share him and introduce people to him in a way that they can sink their teeth into. Right? Personally experience him. When you personally experience Jesus, everything changes. And so I want her to personally experience tonight that I mean it when I say I'm thankful for her faithfulness. Don't go nowhere. Oh, this one maybe? Oh, yep, there we go. And so this represents, I'm thankful for your faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the 35 years I've known you, 33 years that we've been in some sort of a relationship, and 31 years that we've been united as one, you have been faithful to the Lord Jesus. No matter what. No matter what crazy ideas that I've had in my head or crazy, incredibly horrific places that I have went into or whatever's going on, you have been faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that represents the faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on. Jesus doesn't give just enough, does he? Did he give a sinner just enough to be saved? Or did he give abundantly? At the wedding feast, when he changed the water to wine, which he used water, have you ever noticed that? He didn't just fill the vases. He used water. How does the vine grow? Water, rain. What did he use to produce the phenomenal grape juice? Water. He stayed within his natural way of doing things, but did it supernaturally and gave abundantly. They didn't even think they were going to run out once Jesus was part of it. There was no doubt they had enough, right? And so I'm supposed to be an accurate reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I can't just, hey, here's 12. No. This represents your faithfulness to me. And I don't deserve that. But you are. You're so faithful to me. Because you've stayed faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's allowed you to remain faithful in our matrimony. In everything that we do. Amen? And so, here's... Here.
Thanks.
Hang on. Pressed down. Pressed down what? Overflowing. This represents your faithfulness to our children, our grandkids, my parents, your family, my sisters, everybody. This represents the abundance of faithfulness that you have shown. Okay?
Thank you.
Here you go. How are you going to do that?
I don't know. I'm going to let him sit here and be pretty. Well,
I'll help you. You want to leave him here?
Yeah. Put him right there. I'll
All right.
Him after. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Give honor to whom honor is due. You know why I got saved? Because she was saved. I got saved because I started going to church chasing a beautiful redhead. That's why I went to church. Had nothing to do with Jesus. I got saved because I saw he was real in her life. So it's my wife's faithfulness that has conquered so many things. Her faithfulness in the Lord Jesus. Amen. So there's a little challenge for you tonight. Be faithful. Be faithful. Amen. You will never regret faithfulness in your life. There's no downside to it. So I'm going to share with you tonight. Do I need to change it? Is it on? Can you guys hear me okay? Because if not, I'll take it off and just be me and speak really loud. Okay, cool. All right. So about 9 months ago, I started praying. Because everywhere I go in the Dominican Republic, people know God's name. And so I can walk down the street and they will say, Dios te bendiga. God bless you. I can go into a store and purchase something and as I leave, they say, va con Dios. Go with God. People are constantly using his name and I don't mean cussing. And so I'm in a country where sin, the area we're in, Valiente, sin is everywhere. I mean, it's in your face and it's constant. But those same people use his name every day. But they don't know him. And so, I don't know if it was purely out of frustration or what, but one night I started praying, Lord, I don't get it. How can I be surrounded by people who even have a flag, the Dominican flag, in the middle of it is the Bible. So how can I be in a country where they use your name every day, consistently, but they don't know you? They have no idea who you are. And the passage in Romans where, you know, the Word of God is Jesus, right? Yes, no. John makes that clear. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is Jesus. And so when you're sitting there and you're praying and you're talking to the Lord and he calls to your memory, you know, Paul went through something that Jesus made sure we knew about through his Word. And that is he looked at the people and they had a zeal for God. And they were excited about God and they had a zeal that represented God, but they didn't have the righteousness of God. They didn't know him. You know, they developed their own righteousness. They set up their own standards for what was right and what was wrong. And I know, and so he was meeting in this prayer. He's meeting with me. He's talking to me because, you know, we define prayer with acronyms and we do it with all kinds of fancy things. But to be real with you, prayer is communication. Prayer is talking to God. That's what it is. Sometimes it's intercessory because you're asking him to help with something. Sometimes it's for provision. You're making a prayer request for something that's needed, you know. But prayer is communication, and it's relational communication. I brought up the water to wine. I've been studying that a ton. I'm not ready yet to present what he's teaching me. But one of the things, you know, when you look at the water to wine, it wasn't just Joe Snuffy who asked Jesus to intervene that day. It was a prayer of intervention because it was a conversation with Jesus. That's communication. But it was a familial. I'm sorry, as a family member who did that. It's part of your family. When you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you part of His family? Are you wondering what in the world's going on? Why is God not responding? Why am I not? Well, are you part of His family? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? It makes a difference. He still hears your prayer. Cornelius was lost on his way to hell and prayed and God heard his prayer. I mean, he hears the prayer of the lost, but how he responds is going to be completely different to a lost person versus a saved. And so it's important that you're part of the family, but he responds and he desires that communication. He wants that, right? And so I'm in that process and I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, I don't get it. How can these people know your name and not know you? Because if they knew your name and knew you, they'd be a little more cautious about some of the things they're openly doing. Because if you know God, you have a healthy fear of God. And they do not. Most of the places where we're at in the Dominican, they don't. And God took me to a passage. He took me to Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. I'm going to read that for you very quickly here. And Joshua, the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash, and also that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them. Check this out. Very next generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. How do you go through the 10 plagues and not share that with your grandkids? How do you go through the 10 plagues and not share that with your children? How do you cross the Red Sea on dry ground, perfectly safe, perfectly dry, get delivered from the army that's chasing you, turn on the other side when you get to the other side of the riverbed, turn around and look and watch the water come crashing down on the army, watch God annihilate your adversary? How do you witness all that, personally participate in all that, go through it, feel it, see it, taste it, touch it, smell it, and not tell the next generation about it? How's that happen? They made up a song when they got delivered at the Red Sea. Look, Randy's in a different generation than I am. But I guarantee you there are songs he knows that I know. And I guarantee you there's somebody else in here younger that knows that same song. How's that happen? It gets passed on. We tell them the words of the song. They hear it. Maybe it's getting passed on through the radio. Maybe it's getting passed on through a CD. Maybe it's getting passed on in the old days through an 8-track. Who knows? Could be a record. Maybe it's because they heard it in church. It got passed on that way. But it got passed on. The song they sang on the other side of the Red Sea when they had been delivered by God from the army of Pharaoh didn't get passed on. I mean, it did. We got it in the Word of God. But that next generation didn't have it. They didn't know it. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy to you? That's crazy to me. How did they go through getting delivered and walked into the promised land and the battle of Jericho? How does that story not get told? Come on. Okay, so raise your hands if you have kids. All right? Raise your hands if you have grandkids. All right? Do you want them to know God? Then we need to know the answer to this, right? We need to know what's the solution. I'm praying, Lord, I don't get it. That's what I was doing. I don't get it. So he took me to a passage in Scripture that showed me a case where there was a generation that did not know God. The next generation. See, isn't that cool? Look, guys, I'm telling you about a miracle. It's communication with God, right? He met me where I was at. He's saying, okay, here, let me show you. Let me walk you through the process of how that happens. Right? So they didn't know God. God took me to another passage after that. He took me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39 is the next one we're going to look at. You know, and I'm sitting there going, well, my God understands my question because he just showed me what I'm talking to him about. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 35. Let me set the scene for you, right? Because I want you to see it, taste it, smell it, touch it, all right? So here's the scene. John the Baptist has just baptized Jesus the day before. He's standing there. He's got two of his disciples standing next to him. So here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes. I want you to imagine seeing some guy standing there who looks really hairy, not very cleaned up, and he's wearing hairy clothes, and he's got probably some locust and honey dripping out of the right corner of his mouth, because he wasn't married, so there wasn't nobody helping him, right? All right, that guy that you're seeing right now with your eyes closed, that's John the Baptist. Now, I want you to envision two other guys standing next to him. I don't know, they can be wearing whatever you want them to be wearing. Okay, now look up here. You got it? Did you see it with your eyes? Yes? No? Raise your hand if you saw it with your eyes. Okay, it's important. It's important. Jesus walks by. Don't ask me to describe him to you. I know he wasn't as white as most people in the U.S. because it's a different country, different temperature, right? Different climate, right? So, but whatever he looked like, Jesus was walking by. And here's what John said. Behold, the Lamb of God. Amen? Those two guys heard him, and they didn't miss a beat. They started following Jesus. John did his job, didn't he? Did he do his job? Amen? He discipled those two guys to what? Follow Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do in discipleship. Amen? And so they start following Jesus. John the Baptist has been pouring into them, teaching them, training them, prepping them. Jesus walks by. John the Baptist calls him out for who he is. The two disciples start following him. Jesus stops, turns around, just like he did to all of us when we started following him. You know, what are you seeking? Why are you following me? And here they come with their highly discipled, super spiritualized question for the Lamb of God. Where do you live? You know, come on now. You know, John, if he'd have heard that, he'd have been going, really? Really? That's the question you have for the Messiah? Where do you live? It's okay if you talk to Jesus normal. That's okay. That's part of a relationship. Amen? When's the last time you had that kind of a conversation with him? It's okay. And he'll even respond. Amen? It's important. We got to have those. I can't get through my day without them. I got to have conversations like that with Jesus. I'm the knucklehead that will ask him dumb questions like that. Okay? If you, sir, ask me, if you were to ask me where I live nowadays in this generation, it's going to go something like this. I'm going to be like, what's your phone number? And I'm going to send him a text with my address, yes or no. And I'm going to tell him, just click on that. It's a link. It'll give you your GPS, and you'll be able to get right to my house. If not, if I don't have one of these, I'm out somewhere that doesn't have cell reception, because that's a real thing in the U.S., believe it or not. I'm going to be like, okay, so you go down this road. When you get to Betsy's Cow, hang a right, go to the second tree, go left, and turn in the driveway by the red mailbox that's halfway hanging off the pole. All right? Jesus didn't do any of that. Look at what he did. I read this so many times, and this never even jumped out at me. But boy, it did that day. Verse 35, I'll start there and move on. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, What? Come and see. Wives. Just the wives. What would that do to you if your husband did that every time somebody asked him where he lived? Right, you'd be like trying to retrain your husband, wouldn't you? Okay, look, dude, stop bringing people home all the time without letting me know, right? Because you want to clean it up, tidy up, you want it to look nice and presentable, I get it. Even though your house is supposed to look lived in, by the way, it's okay, but I get it, I understand, I'm married. Jesus said, come and see. Come requires a little bit of obedience, a little bit of submission, and a whole lot of curiosity, right? I can say, hey, Randy, check this out, man. Come to the parking lot with me. I want to show you my brand new car. Man, I bet we can get everybody in a parking lot like that. Come and see my brand new car. And people are going to do what? They're going to go see your brand new car. Well, for them to do that, it requires a little bit of submission because I just gave them an instruction. It requires that they're going to, and the impact of that is they're going to personally experience it. You're going to be able to tell me the color. You're going to be able to tell me how many doors it has. If you're a guy, you're going to feel the tires and smell under the hood, right? You're going to, all that new car leather smell, right? Supposedly. You're going to experience it. So if you ask me where I live and I say, come and see, that's different, isn't it? That's different. The Word of God will never return void, but there are more excellent ways that we can share it. You look, Romans Road's phenomenal. Heather, what do I use 99% of the time? Romans Road. What's behind these beautiful looking walls? What's behind them? Huh? Kids. Wiring, insulation, who said support? Support, 2x4s, right? So Jesus is the foundation. Romans Road's the 2x4s, okay? But drywall, there's all kinds of different kinds. Paint, there's all kinds of different kinds, right? Right? So you never want to box the Holy Spirit out of sharing the gospel, ever, right? And so I'm going to share with you a way that Jesus is in the process of teaching me to share the gospel. And it's come and see. Come and see. You know, I started studying that phrase. It took 3 months for me, because I'm a knucklehead. It took 3 months for me to figure out that's the phrase he was trying to show me in this passage. Because I kept coming back to all kinds of other stuff that he really wasn't trying to talk to me about. But the principle of come and see is all through the Bible. It's everywhere. How many of you are familiar with the Samaritan lady, woman at the well? Okay. After she met Jesus, after she accepted him for who he was, and returned to the city where nobody trusted her, because she was lying, cheating, and conniving. The men didn't go near because they were afraid the girl that they were in the relationship with wouldn't talk to them if they did. because she was known for cheating on everybody. The women hated her, which is why she didn't go get water in the morning. Did it in the afternoon. She didn't want to be standing there with all those other ladies hearing about it. She goes back to the city, this untrustworthy person that everybody knew was that way, who nobody trusted. And what'd she say to him? Come and see a man who told me all things. Come and see. What happened that day? The city went back with her. She had something real. Something changed about her. She had something tangible. She had personally experienced Jesus Christ and was excited about him. It's different if I walk up to you and say, hey man, I got a pretty good church. You're invited if you ever want to come. That's different than me walking up to you and saying, hey, come check out my God. My God spoke and created light. And this was before the sun, moon, and stars. My God picked up the dust from the earth and breathed into the dirtiest thing he could have grabbed with his hands and made a holy, pure, righteous man who had no sin in him from the dust. Check out my God. My God's incredible. He did the first surgery. He took a rib from that dude that he made that was perfect. He took a rib from him. First operation ever. My God did it. Doctors didn't do it. Scientists didn't do it. My God did it and recorded the first ever surgery. Made woman. My God's amazing. He's incredible. But he's not just this incredible, super, wonderful, full of no cost for sin God. Ladies, how many of you ever had a kid? Raise your hand. How'd that feel? Was that a picnic? It wasn't, I didn't give birth, but she held my hand, and that wasn't no picnic. There's pain involved there too. You know what that is? Evidence and proof still to this day of the result of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden when God laid out the discipline and said, here's what's going to happen because of that. Check out my God. He's holy and he's righteous. And he's not wavering in that. Check out my God, Tower of Babel. Civilization starts up again after the flood. You got man working with man. God says, go, multiply, cover, you know, the whole world, the whole earth, spread out, go do this thing. And man says, you know what? Kind of like hanging out together. Hey, let's just do it here. Let's build something together here. And they started doing it in perfect unison. Which is a miracle in itself, by the way. They're making this incredible building together. Perfect unity. Problem is, it was in disobedience to God. So check this out. Doesn't matter if you like what you're doing or if it looks good or if you, by man's eyes, it's perfect. If it's in disobedience of God, it's not right. And my God knows it. He knows when you're disobeying. You know what he did? One day they're gathering, they're talking, they're working. Y la próxima día, la lengua de personas cambió todo y la personas comunica con la otra persona, pero una persona no sabe qué dice la otra. Exactly. That's what happened. You imagine it? That's why I have to work so hard to learn Spanish. It's because the Tower of Babel happened. That's where the languages changed. That's why the languages changed. Because my God's holy, pure, righteous, and he's not going to put up with your sin. Or my sin. Check out my God. You seen him yet? You see them today, don't you? You ever seen a rainbow in the sky? My God hung that there. You know what his throne looks like right now? Woo! Check this out. The throne of God. Imagine. Close your eyes again. I ain't moving on until your eyes are closed. Close your eyes. Imagine some king's throne that you saw on Netflix or somewhere. Now imagine it being engulfed in a real rainbow. My God's throne is engulfed in a rainbow. It has lightning shooting out from it. And you can hear thunder. Okay, you can open your eyes. That's what my God's throne looks like right now. The Lord Jesus Christ right now in heaven is my advocate. He goes to bat for me all the time, every day, anytime it's needed. He stands in the gap. When Satan brings accusations against me, Jesus stands there and says, sorry, not today, Satan. He's got my blood. He's accepted me. He's in my family. He's my advocate. Right now, he's preparing a place for us. Golden streets. Mansion. He's doing that right now. He saved me. I faked it in church for 2 years. Was participating in at least 6 different ministries. My poor wife married me thinking I was saved. Everybody in the church, if you'd asked them, they'd have been like, Lee's saved. I got dunked in the tank. Notice I didn't say baptized. I got dunked in the tank. Lied to everybody. I wasn't saved. I was on my way to hell. My God saved me. I went to him. I said, I'm sorry. I'm struggling. I know I need to accept you as my Savior, but if I do, I could lose my wife, my friends, and why would the pastor ever let me be part of anything ever again? I'm better off not sticking my toe in the water, causing any ripples, and then when I die, having to pay the price for my sins than losing everything I got right now. That's what I told him. He said, you can't handle hell. He said, you don't understand. You can't handle hell. You need to accept me as your Savior and let me handle the rest. So I did. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me. When my heart stops beating, I'm going to heaven. Check out my God. Come and see my God. Do you see a difference? I'm not putting on a show. I'm showing you how. I tested it in the Dominican, and I tested it in L.A., and guys, it works. I got out of the rental car I had in L.A., walked around the neighborhood, told God, look, I ain't door knocking because I'm by myself, and I can either get a false accusation made or shot, because he never walks me into the pretty part of town. Right? I'm in a neighborhood where I stand out like a sore thumb. I walked around praying. I went to a corner, and this is what I did. Hey, come check this out. Come here. I did it 3 times. I was surrounded by people. Like, what is wrong with this dude? What is he wanting to show us? And then I started showing them my Savior. I didn't just say, hey, you know, you guys are all sinners. I could have. I've done it many times. I could have started with the question, if your heart stops beating right now, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? I could have done that. I'm not teaching you something tonight, sharing, saying you got to pick between A or B. I'm saying A and B go together. They go together. This isn't, do I do Romans Road or do I do Come and See? No, Come and See is Romans Road. You're putting him on display. Here's the problem. You want to know why people don't do this most of the time? I'm not pointing at you. I'm being real in general about Christianity. You know why people don't do it this way? They don't have a real relationship with Christ to be able to say, come and see. If I say, come and see my new car, what has to be in the parking lot? I gotta have a new car. If I say, you say, where do you live? I say, come and see. What do I have to have? A place where I live. So if I'm going to tell you, come and see my God, what do I have to have? A God that I know, that I can show you. You remember when you met him? Remember when you met him? It's because you personally experienced him. Personally experienced him. But we want people, and look, I'm preaching. Look, remember, anytime there's one pointed out there, there's three pointing back here, right? Remember that, because I'm not picking on you. We want people walking the streets who haven't ever been in church consistently to accept Christ as their Savior and meet us at church. Yes or no? First conversation. Second conversation at the longest. Yes or no? Come on. Yes or no? That's what we want. Well, then introduce them to him. And then go pick them up and say, okay, now come with me. Come and see what he's like on Sunday at church. Guys, come and see changes everything. Everything. It's not a better way, because you can't get better than sharing the Word of God. But I'm going to steal the words of God that he spoke out through Paul. It's a more excellent way. It's a more excellent way. And it is all through the Bible. The principle of come and see is all through the Bible. If you keep going through that passage right there, the next morning, one of the disciples goes running off to find Simon, his brother. Hey, we found him. We found the Messiah. Come on. What is that? Come in. Right? Don't be afraid of saying, what is that? Come in. Brings him back. The other disciple goes running off, goes and finds this guy named, we call him Doubting Thomas, right? He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? That's his rebuttal when the dude shows up and says, hey, come on, check this out. And what did he say to him after he rebutted? Come and see. It repeats itself a total of three times, because it's showing us Matthew 28, 18 through 20 in one passage. Come and see. Follow Christ with me. Go and find another to come and see. That sums up Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Amen? So, tonight, my goal, look guys, there's nothing new under the sun. But we could sit here with this incredible picture of Jesus that we have. This is Jesus, right? We could sit here with Jesus for the next 6 hours and go all through any passage you want to go through, and eventually we will be right smack dab in the middle of the thing looking at come and see. Amen? Let's use it. Sorry about hitting the mic. Let's use it. Let's let people experience Christ. Let's, man, you might be sitting there going, Brother Lee, I don't have that kind of relationship with him. Change it right now. Change it right now. Start having a conversation with him right now. Talk to him. Ask him to help you. Start sharing the personal things he's done in your life with people. That's how they're going to see him. They're not just going to see him if you keep your mouth closed. Sorry, that's a real popular thing out there right now. Oh, I don't have to say nothing. I need to show everybody around me Jesus with my life and your mouth. Not just your life and your mouth. Matthew 28:18 through 20 is very clear. Okay? We got to use both. But I do want to challenge you tonight the way he's challenged me. Put it into play. Come and see. You don't have to be the crazy guy that stands on the corner and shouts at the sky, come check this out. You can if you want. It works. People are going to wonder what in the world you're trying to brag about or what in the world you're trying to show people. That's okay. You can do it that way. Or you can just do it normal in a conversation and say, hey, man, I want you to see my God. And I've done a horrible job of that so far. So I'm just going to take a couple minutes. Check out my God. And utilize it combined with the Romans Road. And it's a beautiful thing. Amen? Any questions about it before? It's a Wednesday night. This is an awesome setting. Is this okay if I do this, Randy? Any questions about that? Throw them at me if you got them. It's okay. Please. I'm sorry if I haven't been smiling a whole bunch. My wife keeps trying to remind me. I have been seeing you, sweetie. Smile. I love Jesus and I get serious real quick about it. And I should smile a whole lot more because he saves so many people and is looking to save everybody. But sometimes my face forgets about that part of it. Okay? So forgive me if I'm being too... Any questions? Okay. Thank you for the amazing opportunity to be able to stand up here tonight, share the Word of God. It's crazy, in my opinion, that he's willing to use somebody like me and let me share his words. But come and see. That's the kind of Savior I have. Amen? Amen. Do I turn this back over to you? Okay. He meant that enthusiastically. Okay.
The way 13 people got
saved in L.A. in that horrific neighborhood when I did that. I took their names and their information 2 blocks up to the first church I could find, knocked on the back door until somebody answered, and handed them all to a pastor. 13 people got saved. Just come and see. And if it wasn't for that, they wouldn't give me the time of day.
Opportunity to become a Lee Carter. If everybody would just say, come and see. Come and see. So I did have a question. Nobody wanted to ask a question. I'll ask a question. Maybe it'll prompt some conversation. And you brought up your L.A. story again. What was the first thing you said to them when they said, what do you show? What do you see? What do you see? What was your first question?
The first thing I said to them was check out my God.
And what did you do?
I started just like I did tonight in creation.
Okay.
I said, do you understand my God?
No, it's my fault.
He's trying to get out of here.
No.
He's facing questions and he's running. But that's an interesting thing you say right there about this, because that begs the question, or maybe it's not begs the question, but challenges us all. Can you tell people about creation? Do you have an answer for creation? Where did it all come from? Do you have an answer
test,
for
test.
There you go.
Okay.
You're back on now. Do you have a way of explaining to people how you know God is real? Can you tell people that God does in fact exist? Can you do that? That would be one of the ways.
Come and see has three parts, by the way. It has the past, the present, and the future. Past, present, and future is part of come and see.
How is that?
So when I look at Genesis, I'm showing them
the past.
Yep. And now is critical for them to be able to understand that he's now. He's
right
real.
Now.
Yep. And the future is critical.
Because we're talking about eternity.
Yep.
Amen. Okay, so what would be the first thing somebody would say about creation? How do we know that creation is real? That God really created the universe? Bob says, look up. What do you see when you look up? You see his handiwork. The Bible says very clearly, the heavens declare the glory of God, and his firmament showeth. Is that right? Well, I think I'm drawing a blank. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day he uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language, and his voice is not heard. Okay, you finish it.
His line has gone out to the end of the earth, and his word to the end of the world.
Amen. Okay, so
if you do that, but you can't do the now, and you can't personally put him on display in your life, if you can't do that aspect of it, they're not going to believe anything you say before or after. Because they haven't accepted this as their authority. So the past and the future establish this as authority in their life. But if I can't personally put God on display and show examples of how I know God's real, what he's done in my life and how that lines up with this book, which is him, they're going to be part of the generation that doesn't know God.
Yeah. Amen. So what I wanted to get to in this with that example about creation is, and to be able to say, come and see in the present part, you need to be ready with an answer to what to say and tell people, this is my God. So how would you introduce your God? That's what you're asking. That's what you're really talking about, introducing. Not just talking about, this is my God, but showing, having a way of explaining who he is. And so creation is a great place to start, because there's so many people that doubt that subject when it comes to who God is. But to be able to say, okay, this is how I know creation. I know from creation, and I know from my salvation, because the Bible says that we know him, because we know each other, because I can't think of the verse. This is what happens. Anyway, knowing I'm saved, he's saved, and our souls communicate that to each other. We just know that we're together. But you need to be able to tell people who God is, be able to have that part of that answer.
Yeah, so give another example?
Sure.
Okay, so if I'm going to introduce you to my wife, part of that introduction is, this is my wife. Her name is Heather. Okay? She has, don't know her name unless I tell you. You know she's my wife if we're walking around holding hands and we both have wedding bands on. You know she's got red hair, but you might not know she's part Italian and part Irish, which tells you a lot. Caution. No, just right. But you know what? There's a love language book that was written, and it's really good. Francis Chan did a great job with that. You know, love languages, really good book. But one of my wife's love languages is not in that book, and it's called coffee. And you now know that. Why? Because I shared it with you. So its introduction to an American usually means share the person's name with the person you're introducing them to and let them know what they do for a living. Introduction with Jesus Christ, you got to get personal. You got to get personal. What's his love language? Keep his commandments. Says you keep his commandments means you love him. So, I mean, personally, you got to go personal.
That's a good example. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It's Holy Spirit's fault. I'm just trying to listen to what he tells me.
That's good. You should listen to what he says. Okay. So, does anybody have any questions now? Come on. We got 20 minutes here. We don't want to sit in silence for 20 minutes.
We got 20
Nobody
minutes.
Have a question.
I have two children and five grandkids. The five grandkids happened so fast, I don't even know how that happened. Well, I know how it happened, but I mean, it was quick.
Anybody else have another question about come and see? That's okay. That's a good question. You just want to know.
Yeah.
And that's what somebody would do in a group setting, or if you were to tell somebody to come and see and you want to introduce them to God and they say, well, what can you tell me about him? They start asking you questions. But he had an answer. What if he said, I don't know how many grandkids I have? That'd be bad.
It would be.
It would be. You'd be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know which one's going to be the honoriest.
Because the first one?
The one named after me.
There you go. What a heritage.
Yeah.
He's got to follow after
Duck
you.
Duck and run,
Not
right?
just follow Grandpa, but follow after you, after Lee Carter, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay, so anybody else? Bob.
One of the things that we would use in the astronomy ministry is in Romans chapter 1, where it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So we then ask the question, why did he do that? So that they are without excuse.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Galatians 2:20 plays a big part in what we're talking about with come and see. That's a whole other sermon. But we interchange the word trust and faith, and they're not the same. Trust and faith are not the same thing. And the Bible doesn't tell me to walk by my faith. It tells me to walk by the faith of the Son of God.
Right.
And we get in trouble a lot of times trying to walk by our faith. And everywhere you look in Scripture, Jesus is kind of dinging them. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? If you have the faith of this, you could move this. You could uproot a tree. We don't ever talk about the tree. We always talk about the mountain, so I'm going to talk about the tree tonight. It says in one place you can uproot a tree and move it. By your faith. By faith you can. If you had, it uses the grain of a mustard seed as an example. What he's trying to tell us all through Scripture is our faith will never get us anywhere. We've got to walk by his faith. Peter didn't get out of the boat by faith, guys. That's not how he got out of that boat. Look at the process. It tells us exactly how to live in that passage. That process, Jesus is already walking on the water, and Peter's watching him do it. So it can't be by faith that he gets out of the boat, because Hebrews 11:1 says it's not by sight. If you're doing it by faith. And he already saw him do it. Right? What did he wait for? He had a personal conversation with him. He said, bid me to come. And he waited until what? Until Jesus bid him to come. So he stepped out of that boat because he trusted the words of Jesus Christ. That's why he got out of that boat. Jesus told him to do it, and he could trust what he was saying. So he got out of the boat. And trust isn't the same thing as faith. It grows, and it goes away. There's times that I've told my wife I was going to do something, and I didn't do it. What happens to trust at that point? You lose some of it. Right? You can earn it back, but you lose some of it then. So if you don't ever do what the Word of God tells you to do, your trust in the Word is never going to grow. But Peter got out of that boat because he trusted the words of Jesus. He knew he could trust him if he told him to do it, because Jesus had already done it. So it's the faith of Jesus Christ that Peter was walking in. The people that don't want to come and see walk away. You know, if I'm saying come and see and you're saying no, don't want to, okay. Maybe come and see another day. You know, now, I mean, look, Jesus is incredible. And I've been through a lot of junk in my life. And when the Mormons show up on my street, or the Jehovah Witnesses show up on my street, you know what I do? I go with them. I'll go door to door with them. He who teaches last wins. Go ahead, teach whatever you want to teach, but I'm not leaving. And when you're done, I'm going to show them what the Bible says. You know what's happening? They're learning too. Because they're hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God will never return void. Eventually, they're either going to stop coming to my street, or something. Are we going to keep having a good time and they're going to start growing in who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Right? So they're definitely not a compliant crowd, right? But if somebody doesn't want to hear it, because this is different. This isn't me knocking on somebody's door. This is somebody out publicly who walked up because I said, come and see. So it's a little bit different.
I'm going to say this.
There's nothing wrong with door knocking.
You can correct me.
I love door knocking.
So the idea of come and see is not you go out and invite people necessarily. It's a concept of what you're trying to get done. So think about yourself. How did you end up here? Who invited you to come and see? Every one of us has been invited somehow to come and see. At some point in time, we were invited to come and see. But it wasn't like Lee says, come and see. And I say, well, okay, I'll come with you. It wasn't like that. The person that invited me to church was my wife. And there was a lot of times she says, come and see. And I'm like, I ain't coming. No, I won't go. Don't even invite me there. I won't go. So I'm kind of the antagonist that you were thinking about it there. I refuse for a long time to come to church. What changed was it wasn't always a verbal communication from her to me, but it was her behavior. Well, that would be the present part of your discussion. Her behavior changed what I was seeing. So when he says, come and see, she's like, I'm here, watch. I'm here, watch. And I got to watch her change after she got saved. And her change infected me. I use that word because I wasn't just affected. I was infected by what changed her, and it changed me. And so that's really more of to kind of spread this out conceptually a little bit, try to wrap your head around, what is he talking about? Come and see. I mean, you know, am I going to start? You know, because you can do it. You can do it very literally, very liberally, and like if you're at the gas station and say, "Hey, come and see. Watch me fill the gas tank up. This is how the Holy Spirit works." You can do it that way, or you can say, to a family member, to a friend, or to a coworker. Just watch. Just, and you don't even have to say that. Just be that person that you want them to see. Does that make sense? Does that mm-hmm. fit?
It does.
Okay. Well, what if you don't have an answer though, in the middle of all of this, when people want to know, when you don't have where do you get the answer? That's really what the church is for. The church is to prepare every one of us to have an answer. And if a church isn't doing that, prepare the people to have an answer, then they're really failing the people, because the people can't say, come and see, because I won't be able to show them because I don't have an answer.
Right. In that passage, it wasn't the kids' fault. It wasn't the generation that didn't know God. It wasn't their fault.
It was not their fault.
It was the generation before that's fault.
Because they weren't trained. They weren't taught.
It's my fault that there are people right here in the United States that know the name of God, but do not know who He is. That's my fault.
Yeah.
That's not their fault. Now, God's not going to give them a get-out-of-jail-free card when they get to the throne, because they've already covered the fact that His creation declares who He is. They'll be held accountable for it. But if you want to know where the buck stops, it stops right here. And as far as not knowing goes, he's right. He's, with what he's saying about the church, I'm not. Obviously, he's right. It's scriptural. But, however, if you've accepted Christ your Savior, you know what you were like before you did that. You know how that happened, and you know what changed afterwards. And so you have a past, present, and future for your come and see.
We would call that your testimony.
Yep.
This is why everybody should have at the ready to share their testimony with anybody. Anybody says, why are you the way you are? Well, let me tell you. They may not even ask a question. Just start talking about how God has affected you and see where that goes.
I have put together 25. This is to try and do come and see with you for a second about why this got shared tonight. I've put together 25 messages just since I've hit the States. God hasn't let me preach any of them yet. This is the one that He keeps having me share everywhere I go. And it's because if you hear this and you're lost, you understand you're lost because you don't have a come and see. You need one. The Holy Spirit will tug at your heart. And if you're saved and you're not participating in come and see, that's why the generation around you doesn't know God. And that's your circle of influence. Now, you can get me preaching about all kinds of things. Now, look, the mission field is not a place. It's your circle of influence. It's not a territory. It's where you live every day, where you go every day, your path. Your circle of influence, that's your mission field. My mission field is here, right now. I'm not waiting to go back to my mission field in the Dominican Republic. Mission field, it's a constant state of being for a saved person. And so come and see within your mission fields, gas station, supermarket, work, playground, anywhere.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, if nobody has any other questions, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up, and we finish up here just a few minutes early. But I want to say thank you for that. That was every time you come, you challenge us in a new and a better way to initiate a conversation with somebody to share the gospel with them,
amen.
To share Christ with them. So thank you for that. Thank
amen.
You for hanging out.
Amen. Praise God.
I do want to pray when we get ready to leave. I want to make sure I forgot to pray for the tornado of people in the hurricane. I would say tornado because I'm in Missouri and Kansas. Yeah. And to me, they're all the same. Big wind. Big wind. There are, but it's still big wind. I mean, I don't care how it spins. You can spin it any way you want. Sound like a hurricane. It wasn't mine. I didn't touch any buttons.
I turned mine off. My fault. I turned it off and it made noise after it was off.
Anyway, we were doing a pray for the people in Florida, family members, friends, people that we all know. Many of you, or several of you, may remember Donna Gardner, who used to be here at this church. She's moved to a retirement community called The Villages outside of Orlando, and they're right in the path. And we talked to her today and prayed with her. She's going to weather the storm in her house. I will say this as well. My mom, who lives probably 20 minutes away from Donna, is doing the same thing, weathering the storm in her home because she's got no place to go. Donna has no place to go. Donna was telling us that the gas stations are out of gas. Even if you wanted to leave, if you didn't have a full tank, you ain't getting very far. I didn't even think about that kind of stuff. The infrastructure is already is being stretched by people trying to get out of town. So let's pray for them. Pray for the team that's going to the Dominican in January. And I'm sure that if you really, really, really wanted to go, we can make room for you, or Lee could make room for you. Just come and see. Here at the church, he knows more than I can do. If you want more information about how much it's going to cost, when the flight's going, well, let me just say, first off, if you want to go and you don't have your passport, that's step one, number one, get your passport. Step number two would be to talk to Steve, but you got to get a passport because they won't let you on the plane. October 25th, 26th. Steve's having a meeting, so if you want to find out more information about the trip to go, talk to him. He's got all the details. I don't have any of the details other than that they're going. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed, and just have a good the rest of the evening. If you want to come up and talk to Steve or Heather or Steve to Lee or to Heather, feel free to do so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this challenging concept, this message, Lord. Just really rocked everybody here, I'm sure, in some way, somehow, Lord. It's like, well, what do I say when I say come and see? What do I show them? Lord, we've got that answer now. We show them you. And I pray, Father, that you would help every one of us to be able to do that with grace, with love, and with compassion for the people that we're speaking with and talking to about the fact that they need to come and see. I ask, Father, for your guidance and your direction and your wisdom on that. We do want to pray for those that are in the path of the hurricane that's coming across the Gulf of Mexico onto Florida. Lord, there's a lot of people that are already suffering from the initial effects, especially in the area of Tampa and all along the Gulf Coast. So I pray for their safety. And pray, Father, as we've already prayed, that you would just remove the power from the hurricane. Just take that power, Lord. All power is of you anyway. So just take that power away from the hurricane so that people will not be injured. Property will not be destroyed. We just thank you for tonight and for the word we heard tonight and the challenge for it. Give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.